It's a blessing to be together. And I'm excited to see everyone and be with you all today. I was asked to share a short opening here this morning. And immediately after I was asked, my thought went to prayer, because that's what God's doing in my life right now is He's teaching me some things about prayer. And so we've heard a lot about prayer recently, and so I'm not sharing anything new, but I might be sharing someone else's perspective on prayer and what God is doing in my life on prayer. Brother Allen shared here several months ago a message on my house shall be called a house of prayer, and that's, concerning us as a church. And so I'm not talking about that at all this morning. I'm talking about our personal life of prayer. Brother Toby had a children's lesson here a couple weeks ago on Proverbs 4:13, where it says, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. And he had a lifeline here, an inner tube type of thing with a line attached to it. And that was really good. And so I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something different. I'll explain here and if you give me a little time. Our lifeline, prayer being our lifeline, I think it was that same day when we sang the last song for the service, we sang number 913. That might have been the same day that Brother Andy had a message here, Brother Andy Dutter, on continuous revival. And as we think of a lifeline being connected to something stable and firm, and as we think of continuous revival, my heart was full and brimming over, and I've been meditating on those things. But we sang as the last song that day, number 913, if I recall right, and it's called Where Your Anchor Hold. And as we think of Jesus being our Savior and also our Redeemer, bought us with a high price. And as we think of being connected to Him, we also know that He is our rock, okay? He is the rock that we stand upon. He is also our anchor. He's what keeps us grounded on that rock, you might say. Or as we think of an anchor, we think more of a ship out on the ocean and something anchoring that ship, steadfast and sure. And this song, Will Your Anchor Hold, twice in that song mentions about the cable being strained, but the anchor is holding. And I talked with a brother after the service that day, I don't remember who it was, about this song and how it blessed me, how this song just blessed me so much. And then he brought out those about the cables, and so I was meditating on that. And that's what I mean. Prayer is the cable. It's the lifeline connecting us to what? To the vine. What's the vine? Jesus Christ, as it says in John 15. In the first 10 verses there in John 15, he says, abide in me 5 times in the first 10 verses. And he says it several other ways, but that particular thing, abide in me, and abiding means remain in me, okay? And so as we think of abiding in Christ and of living a life that is abiding in Christ, so how do we do that? We're busy every day. We've got things to do, and we've got places to go, and we've got families to look after. So how do we abide in Christ? We don't necessarily need to take a special opportunity to abide in Christ. We just continue all the time. All the time. It doesn't matter if we're with a family, if we're having devotions in the morning, or if we're at work, we continue to abide in Christ. And that's the burden. As I think about prayer and that being our lifeline, I think of that. That is why it's connecting us to the rock. It's what connecting us to the anchor. It's what's holding us. It's that cable. when Aiden shared here this up here about Matthew 18 there about looking up. And there's just a few things about prayer here I'd like to say. the posture of our heart. I'll probably keep getting ahead of myself here and not say the things I should be saying. Maybe I'll try to. As we think children looking up, everything they need, they're looking up, okay? But when they get something, you know, all the time they're asking for something. They're asking for food, to go outside and play, to have a new coat, just all kinds of things that children need. Children are really needy, right? And we as parents provide for them. So, every time, and this is just one part of my burden that I have about prayer that I see, that I notice coming out. Every time that they get something, do they go and brag that it's because I asked, that's why I got it? No, they're just glad that they got it, right? They say, wow, how kind my parents are, how kind my sister is or my brother. When they beg for something or they ask for something, they don't go around saying, you know, and I say that because I hear that so much, I see it in my own life. You know, I come home and I say, you know, so-and-so was going on. I prayed and this is what happened. And I'm almost giving me the honor and glory. I prayed and look what happened. It's not because I prayed. It's God that did it. Okay. And so when we pray, we need to do it in humility. And then it's God that is giving us, that is benevolent and that is, but okay, a few more things on this prayer. Brother Andy, when he had that message on continuous revival, he brought out something that shocked me. And he likened prayer to breathing. You know, every time that we take a breath, we have life. But when we quit breathing, it doesn't take long. There is life. Physical life has fled. It doesn't take long at all. Several minutes is all it would take. And so he likened prayer to breathing. Breathe. Life. You know, and so if we pray several times an hour, are we getting enough life? Not really. According to Scripture, Romans 12:12 says, continuing instant in prayer. And in the Amplified, it would say constant in prayer. Well, how can we be praying when we're busy at work and we're trying to figure things out? Well, that's for us to figure out. But in other words, that connection needs to be vital and all the time. Another one is 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And the Amplified there again, I think it gives it it says, be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly. So it's not something that's easy. It's something that we fight through. We battle through as we pray. We don't just, well, you know, it's easy just to just let our minds wander, our thoughts flow. But that's not persevering. And that's not staying connected. That's not drawing life. And as we stay connected, as you know, there's lots of ways to pray. And just a few hours ago, we had a little band right here in the front praying for many things and praying through things. And it's a blessing, but it takes more than that. It takes staying connected as we go, wherever we're at, whatever we are doing. Okay, I'm going to read an account in Luke 18. You're welcome to turn there with me. There's a lot of things in here about prayer, and we can only touch just a little bit, and we're not trying I just want to whet your appetite. Just a few of the things that came out in the last several weeks, really. And you know, as we can have all this knowledge about Jesus and how He saved me, how He redeemed me, and we can just kind of go through day after day and kind of be okay. But we don't have life. Really, that spiritual life that only comes from staying connected. And as I've been drawing from this spiritual life more frequently since I've been, my appetite has been whetted, it's amazing. It's beautiful life. Okay, Luke 18, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, the Lord Jesus was talking here, he said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect? You know, this is Jesus saying this. He knows what makes the heart of God tick. He knows what it takes. He's God himself. He's the Son of God, but yeah, he's God himself. So he knows. So this is instruction from him. Continual, persevering. And I've got much to learn. I've got higher ground to go. But if we just tap into it as we have time and just a little bit, as our thoughts let us, we're not going to be partaking of life here. I didn't finish reading. I'm sorry. Verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He says he will avenge them speedily. But it takes crying out to him day and night. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So, he's connecting faith and prayer here. And we know that is connected. So, as if we have faith, how is that walked out? By staying connected to the vine. And another account in Mark 13. This is kind of a different aspect of it. Mark 13, I want to read that. Verse 32, starting in verse 32. Here he's talking about the end times, and we are in those end times. I don't think anyone in here is in here that would doubt that. But he's talking about these things. And then he says, but of that day, starting in verse 32, of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. He's the only one that knows. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore. So he's telling us to watch. So what are we going to do? Just stand around and watch? No. Watching means persevering. It means being attentive, being connected, grounded. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And I don't think he's talking here about the physical sleeping. He's talking about our spiritual life is asleep. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Okay, Philippians 4:6. I'm going to read that. You can just listen in. I'm going to read it actually in the Amplified. I think sometimes the Amplified gives a much better meaning, and sometimes there's not much difference, but I wrote down the Amplified version here. It says here, do not fret or have anxiety about anything. This is Philippians 4:6. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition meaning definite request. That's what petition means. Definite request. But by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Isn't that saying the same thing that Jesus taught us how, you know, about the unjust judge? Continues to make your wants known to God. There's wrong ways to pray also. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm going to get out of order here again. Ephesians 6:18. I'm going to read that one quick. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The supplication there would mean interceding on behalf of for all saints. That's what supplication would mean, is interceding on behalf. So, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, yeah, we need to be praying for ourselves, our families, but we also need to be interceding for the saints, for the children of God. Psalm 55:16 says this. It says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Evening, morning, this is verse 16 and 17. "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." This is, we should just all the time, evening, morning, noon, crying out to God. James 5:13 says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any married? Let him sing psalms." It's a pretty short little verse there. But afflicted, I looked that up because I've a long time been curious, what does affliction mean, and just never bothered looking it up, I guess. But afflicted would mean ill-treated or suffering evil. So is there anyone, when we're suffering evil or we are treated ill, it says, let him pray. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. And God will hear the prayers of the saints. But that's not part of that verse. It gets on down. Matthew 5:4, if we think about afflicted, about ill-treated or suffering evil, Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to them, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hear, that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." It's turning the other cheek. It's praying for them. Instead of, we don't talk evil about them or get angry at them. We pray for them which despitefully use us and persecute us. So as we try to stay connected to the vine, what are the distractions? Why is it that we have trouble staying connected to the vine, to stay in constant prayer? I don't know about you all, but I know in my life, usually it's the thorns are growing up. You know, I shared that burden here several months ago about the thorns grow up, as it says there in Matthew 6, in Luke 8, verse 7, you know, he says the parable of the sower who was sowing seed, and some fell among the thorns. And then he says the seed is the word of God. And then in verse 11 he says, and the thorns grow up and choke out. And so, and sometimes we get so busy with ourselves, with our work, with our what we're doing, that it's choking out our time with God. So, there's wrong ways, there's wrong things we can pray about, and there's a quote here that I'm going to read, and I don't necessarily agree about with everything about this quote, but it gives us an idea of how and when we should pray, what we should pray for. Like I said, this is a quote by probably some Protestant type thinking a little bit, but I don't know who quoted it. It's unknown. But it says, "I asked God to take away my habit, and God said, no. It is not for me to take away. It is for you to give up." So we can pray for wrong things. We need to persevere as we pray. "I asked God to make my handicapped child whole, and God said, no. His spirit is whole. His body is only temporary." And that's one of the things I think that we'd have scripture that I could say something else there. But it goes on. "I asked God to grant me patience, and God said, no. Patience is a byproduct of tribulations. It isn't granted. It is learned. I asked God to give me happiness, and God said, no. I give you blessings. Happiness is up to you." It's our attitude, you know. We can be happy in all kinds of circumstances. Or we can have the best of circumstances and not be happy. So happiness is up to us. He gives us blessings. Are we seeing them? You know, as I think of staying in constant prayer with God, I don't know how it is with you all. I just know how it is with me. I work at the hog farm, and there's just room after room pen after pens of hogs to look at and make sure everything is okay and give shots and clean out water cups and unplug feeders and all the things that go with that. And some days I just walk through the rooms and some days through the pens so I get all my work done so it works out. Anyhow, so the days that I walk through the rooms, I walk all the way down looking on one side, walk back looking on the other. And when I would get done and there wasn't any sick in the room, you know, everything was good, I would just thank God. Thank you. What an amazing God you are to take care of all these 600 and some head of hogs in here, and they're all well. Wow. But as I think of being in constant prayer, why wait till I get out of the room? I walk in there. Wow, what an amazing God you are. There's not a hog in this pen that's sick. And here's one that's sick. He's laying right by the water. I can tell he's got fever because his ears are all marked up. Someone's been chewing on him. So he's got a fever. Thank you, God, for pointing him out to me. You know, there's just, you can stay in constant prayer. You don't have to wait till you get done with something. And hey, I arrived home safely. Thank you, God. You can thank him then, but why not thank him when you start out and as you go? And keep thanking him and praising him all the time. I've just been finding it is such a blessing, things that he reveals to me as I thank him. Little things. Anyhow, the quote goes on here. I asked God to spare me pain, and God said, no. Suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. And we know Peter, 1 Peter has a lot to say about suffering. Suffering wrongfully, it brings us closer to God. And all of us that have suffered, most of us in here have suffered wrongfully, and we know that to be true. We don't like to suffer, but it brings us closer to God. I asked God to make my spirit grow, and God said, no, you must grow on your own, but I will prune you to make you fruitful. And I like the last one, it says, I asked God for all things that I might enjoy life, and God said, no, I give you life that you may enjoy all things. And as I think about, you know, I want to be careful how I say this about wrong times to pray. That's not worded right. I'm going to read Psalm 32, verse 6 and 7. You can just listen in here. It says this, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Okay? For this shall everyone pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. When the floods, if we're not praying when God may be found, then all at once the need arises and we quit go to him. Isn't that our human tendency? To just, when we have a need. That is not what God wants. He wants this continuous. Not when we have a need. When we have a need, yes, let's go to him. But the need doesn't have to be great before we go to him. It can be really tiny and small. Little child has an earache. Let's go to God. Let's go to the master healer. But it says, surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. You know, when the time comes that we need him, we can't even find him. He's not there. He's not listening. Because we're not connected. The CAM billboard evangelism ministry, where people call in, they see these billboards and they call 1-800 for truth. And someone called in yesterday. It was Samuel. They called him. It's not his real name. And it just struck me as I was thinking about prayer and about being connected. It struck me that Samuel had just gotten done with college on physics. Something physics. Does anyone remember what it was? Something physics, like a PhD in something physics. It was, I think, some kind of a Bible seminary college that he went through. And he was just getting ready to start teaching. And he saw the CAM billboard sign that says, what did it say? Have you lost faith in God? And it says, call 1-800 for truth. But it says, have you lost faith in God? And he thought about that, and he said, I did. I don't have faith in God. And he called this number. You know, he's there ready to start teaching, and it's something that we should all pray for him. He's ready to start teaching at this Bible place, And he doesn't have faith in God. He's packed full of knowledge and has no reality of being connected with God. And that's truth for many Christians, professing Christians. And it can be true for us and for our children if we don't stay connected. So I think that's all I have. The one song that just kept going through my mind all the time, and I can't help it, as I was looking at this. At this meditation here is the song 121. And if you have another one picked out, David, that's fine. But if you don't, I'd like to sing number 121 as a song here to our thoughts should be on God all the time. Thank you for listening.